to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. I am Allie Rosen, joined by
Matt Peters.
Oh, Matt's mic's not on.
Hey everyone, Matt Peters here.
There we go. All right, and this is Animatronic Dinosaurs. I did it right this time.
It's the final one of the semester.
It is, and now I'm going to just do our reintro for the people online. I'm Allie Rosen, joined by
Matt Peters.
And this is Animatronic Dinosaurs. Our episode is going to be on Civil War. Now let me just switch mics.
Civil War.
Very, very interesting movie.
Probably the most hyped. I mean, Batman vs. Superman is probably the most hyped, but not for the right reasons.
Well, this is the more interesting of the two.
Yes. Well, it is the better one.
But, yeah, agreed. And I think that you'll get between me and Matt's consensus that we both enjoyed this movie a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There we have each have our problems and each have our likes. They don't necessarily agree with each other, but they're there.
Yeah, so we're going to open the show with the non-spoiler talk.
Yep, a non-spoiler talk for everybody who doesn't want the movie spoiled for them.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it yet.
And we aren't going to do the spoiler review directly afterwards. Don't worry, we're actually going to do a ranking for the MCU, and then we'll do our spoiler review and we'll tell you guys that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll time the spoiler review so that you guys know that you're going to come back at this time and you can watch the rest of the show. So
Allie,
that being said,
what did you think?
I loved Captain America Civil War. I think it is a fantastic Marvel movie. It is a fantastic Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think someone who hasn't seen all of the Marvel movies, especially the last three, would understand anything about this movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of build.
Yeah, it's like it takes stuff from Winter Soldier, it takes stuff from Age of Ultron, and it takes stuff from Ant-Man.
Yep.
And without seeing those movies, it really won't make sense to you.
No. And there's so many characters that are already introduced. So if you just see this before you see the other ones, you have no idea who these people are.
Yeah, you can't go in this with just a knowledge of Thor, Iron Man, Captain America, and the Hulk. Especially because two of those aren't in it.
Yeah, you got to see Ant-Man.
You got to see, there was a lot of characters in it, and I think that almost all of them had a reason to be there. That's right. Yeah. I was really enjoyed that. The fact that we knew these characters were there. They all had their own personal vendettas in this clash. They all had, they all picked a side and they had a reason for that side, except for maybe a couple of them.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a dozen of them, it's hard to get all of them to have a meaning. And I think they did a good enough job that 10 out of the 12.
And I really like how the Russo brothers direct.
Oh yeah.
I think that they managed to not only make a very good action movie, but also make a very good movie in general.
It was very tense. It was a tense movie. There are a lot of dialogue scenes, and those scenes, you can feel the build between the characters, and it leads up to the plot developing and everything, it all works.
And I feel like the reasoning behind everything and what starts, what ends, all of it is gotten a very good, it all has good reasoning behind it. It's not spoilers for Batman v Superman. If you haven't seen it yet, I don't know why you haven't seen it. And if you haven't seen it, you probably don't really care about these spoilers anyways. But there is no Martha reasoning in this.
No.
It's clear. You understand it.
It's thought out.
Yeah. They spend a really good time on it. However, putting up against some of the other Marvel movies, I kind of have this feeling that there's the Marvel incredible movies and then there's the Marvel greats. The fact that there's Marvel's never really done a bad job.
They've done disappointing jobs for me, but it's not bad.
But we hold them to such high of a standard. Yeah. Thor the Dark World, people are like, oh, well, it's definitely not the best Marvel movie, but it's still a great movie.
Yeah, I don't know. It bored me in parts. Also, Iron Man 2 also very disappointed me.
But I would probably say that I would rather watch any Marvel movie, any MCU movie, than Batman v Superman. And that's saying something. It's that even the bottom of the Marvel movies, I still think are strong movies. And then there's these movies that they made that we consider are some of the best. Civil War, I think, falls into that category, but I don't think it trumps. It's not the movie that trumps the Avengers.
Mm.
It's not
we'll
as.
We'll talk about it.
It's not, I don't think it's I think it's good, but I think it's just kind of. It's good. It's very, good. Very good.
Yeah. It's a very good movie.
Yeah. And I think that they add in new characters and they do those characters
they did
justice.
Them well. Yeah. Black Panther. I loved Black Panther.
Fantastic job with him.
Yeah. He was introduced and it worked very well. It was 5 minutes in and you already cared about him.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of people's worries nowadays are origin stories and how much they take away from a movie. Yeah. And I think that they set up origin stories for both Spider-Man and Black Panther in like
Spider-Man.
What Matt has a
Spider-Man.
Then? We can talk Spider-Man more during the spoiler talk.
But just say what you thought of him.
I loved Spider-Man.
Yeah. I really like Spider-Man.
I thought
it was well done.
Matt disagrees with me on this, but I think it was the best screen adaptation of Spider-Man's character.
And, like, I could see why someone would say that. Like, because he's a lot like the comics, you know? And he's also a kid. So, like, that's what his point is. He's a kid, and that's what the comics are, like Adventures of Spider-Man. But, you know, I still, Tobey Maguire, the first two movies has a place in my heart, just because he's a little more, you know, nerdy. But
I think that the first two Spider-Man movies are fantastic films and are probably better Spider-Man films than Civil War is, because Civil War is not a Spider-Man film.
No.
But I think that Spider-Man in Civil War is a better Spider-Man than Tobey Maguire's.
Yeah. They did a cool thing. It was not like Amazing Spider-Man where they just recycled everything from the first Spider-Man movies. This one, it changed stuff. And, you know, that's controversial because you're used to it being the other way. Like me, I was like, wow, that's weird. But thinking about it, you know, it's actually, I'm glad they did something different.
And I mean, the changes aren't like a Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor change. They're like small. And every time Marvel's made changes on characters in their MCU, it's always worked.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not worried about it that much.
No.
Like, I don't think it's like people automatically thought with Ant-Man, they chose Scott Lang instead of Hank Pym, when Hank Pym has been the Ant-Man, like the known Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that they did a great job with that.
This movie, the tone worked really well, too, because the scenes, there was some funny, there were a lot of funny lines, a lot of quotable lines, but I think a problem with, like, Age of Ultron, it was a little too funny. Like,
this one
did not graze that line of, like, jumping the tone into a different stratosphere. This one was, like, it worked.
And I think the only disappointment for me would be the main villain. The overarching villain. I mean, we'll get more into it in the spoiler talk, why...
He's better than, like, if you think about him, he's better than, like, his surface.
Yeah, he's better than, like, Whiplash or the Mandarin.
Mandarin.
Or the Mandarin, air quotes. But I think that I don't think that Marvel, there was so much in that movie that there was no way that
he had to do so much. But I felt like he was more... Like, his motives were good, so I'll give him that.
And it was creepy. Yeah, and I think that some of the stuff he does, you just kind of go, how?
Yeah.
Like, it kind of seems...
If you saw, like, Mission Impossible, like, the last one, that villain, I feel like it's the same kind of thing, where, like, oh, he is menacing, he's smart, but, like, there's just a little thing missing that could have made him great.
Yeah, and I feel like if they had given him maybe, not even set up more, just, like, kind of, like, actually spent more time with him, like describing him. I mean, that would make Civil War a 3-hour movie, and he's not the focus of it. He's just kind of like there.
For people who don't want to
spoil it at all, like, he's just kind of there. He's not really the driving force of this. The driving force is this Civil War.
Yeah. And the long runtime, 2.5 hours, it doesn't feel too much.
Yeah,
hours.
You don't. It's like watching Force Awakens.
There's so many different things that go on that it's not dragging.
There's a little bit of slow stuff in the start, but it really, it's what builds the movie together so that in the end, when it just picks up insanely fast, and like a Marvel movie, there's that opening scene, then it slows down, and then it picks up again.
Yeah.
And that opening scene, we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into that. I thought there were a couple moments that, like, the special effects were a tiny bit off. Which, like, sort of, like, perplexed me for, like, Marvel's usually amazing with the special effects. But, like, the action was great. And, like, you know, the big fight scene, that was perfect. But then, like, there were other parts where I was like, the characters are looking a little weird with their movements.
Yeah, there's a couple. I mean, we'll touch into that. I agree with you. There are some, like, I mean, and that's just, like...
And this is nitpicking.
That's nitpicking. And I think, like, my actual big, I think, issue with some of the action was, at least in the very beginning, it was very shaky cam, and I know some people say, oh, maybe that's what's right, but like, people say, oh, that's what Winter Soldier's like. I don't really remember Winter Soldier being that.
No, I don't remember that.
It's very like,
it did a lot of cuts, though. Yeah. That's what Winter Soldier was.
And I think a lot of it, like, that kind of set me off at first, but that goes away quickly.
Yeah.
All right. So, we're going to put Civil War on hold. Spoiler-free, what would you give out of 10?
I'd give it an 8.
I think I would fully agree with that.
Yeah.
8 out of 10.
I think an 8's good because it is a really good movie.
Yeah. It's like,
but there are some
on a scale from Daredevil, on a scale from Elektra to Dark Knight, where would you put it?
The first Spider-Man movie.
Ah, okay. I'd say. All right, there we go.
Which is like, yeah, I'd give it for Spider-Man.
Bad superhero movies. Actually, no, it'd be more like a scale from Fant4Stick to Dark Knight.
Oh man, yeah, I'd still go for Spider-Man. But
I don't even think Fant4Stick.
Fant4Stick's the worst.
It's. Have you seen X-Men Origins Wolverine?
Yeah.
That one, like, Fant4Stick made me sad.
Talk about a bad plot. Wolverine, X-Men Origins Wolverine, it's just...
I mean, like, Fantastic Four made me depressed, and, like, this could have been something good, but X-Men Wolverine, Origins Wolverine made me upset. Like, mm-hmm. I was violently upset at that movie for all the choices they did.
Yeah. Because, like, the opening credits scene is awesome.
Yeah, I love seeing it. Just, like, and then it's... it just, like, feels like they didn't really care about it.
Mm-hmm. That was a money ploy.
Yeah. And I think all the Wolverine movies are. I've never been a fan of them.
I love Wolverine, but yeah, I'd say
I like him as a character. It's amazing. But
I love the X-Men movies with him, like the first two. And going back, like yeah, X-Men 2, the themes are a lot similar to this one. Yeah. But you know, that's how superhero movies are.
They're all very similar.
Yeah.
All right. So now that that's over with, we have a big. We're not even
a
doing
long
a
list.
Not even a top five today. We are doing a ranking of the MCU.
Yeah.
There are 13 movies.
Yeah.
13 total movies. Only two character casting changes.
Only two.
Only two major casting changes, I believe. Yeah, no, I think only two major mm-hmm. casting changes.
Yeah, that was Terrence Howard.
Terrence Howard to Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle and
Edward Norton.
Edward Norton to Mark Ruffalo. Believe that's it. I don't.
Both worked.
Both, yeah. I mean, I like both of them. I like both Don Cheadle and Terrence Howard.
Me too.
I don't think that Terrence Howard could do some of the stuff Don Cheadle does.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they would have had the same comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But Terrence Howard worked for what he was in Iron Man 1.
Yeah.
And then Edward Norton, fantastic job carrying his own solo Incredible Hulk movie, could not have carried in a team.
No.
He does a very good job with...
He's hard to work with.
And he's very strong with his inner demons, kind of, which is what Incredible Hulk's about. But and I don't think Ruffalo could have really dealt with that at the time. I think Ruffalo could do a solo Hulk film in a different setting, Planet Hulk, Marvel. But I don't think Edward Norton could have done the Avengers. There's no way. He just, his character version of Hulk does not work as a team.
Mm.
It's just kind of this somber character.
I see.
So I'm fine with all of it. They all were cast in the right spots. That being said, though, everything else has been consistent.
Yeah.
There's a lot of actors, some I even forget are in the MCU, like John C. Reilly and Arwen from Lord of the Rings is in it.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot.
There's a lot of people.
Yeah. So, all right. I'll kick off my list with the one I have not seen, and that's The Incredible Hulk.
That's because, so sad.
You see, I saw the 2003 Hulk, the Ang Lee one.
Yikes.
With Eric Bana. I did not like it that much. So, you know, I decided to skip Incredible Hulk when it came out. And
I think I've seen, ironically, my introduction to some superhero movies. My parents showed me the Ang Lee Hulk when it came out, and I was like, okay, cool. I remember very little about it, and then we saw The Incredible Hulk when it came out, and I remembered a little bit about it before rewatching it. But like, I saw both of the Hulk movies before any other MCU movies, without even without even thinking about I saw both the Hulks already. It's just like kind of part of it. Hulk was just that superhero I knew, before Iron Man even came out. I was like, oh yeah, I know who Hulk is. That was just it.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because I'm not really partial to Hulk at all, outside of that.
I liked Hulk as a kid, because I had the Hulk fists.
Oh my gosh. I want one of those ones that holds a can of soda.
The beer ones?
Yeah. We don't drink.
No.
I think Hulk might have been the first superhero I was introduced. Hulk or Spider-Man, one of the two.
Superman for me, but...
I don't know if I might have watched the original Superman. I don't think I remember it very well. I didn't watch Batman's, honestly, till later.
No.
I knew who he was and I liked him, but I didn't watch Batman movies. I think I didn't watch the original one.
Oh, I watched the original with the Adam West.
I didn't watch. No, Adam West. That's a different story.
That's the one I watched.
No, I hadn't seen the Michael Keaton one until after seeing Batman Begins to the Dark Knight. And I did see, my parents did show me Batman Begins very early on too. When it first came out, we saw Batman Begins. And then we never saw the Dark Knight until I was much older, because I was afraid of the Joker.
Oh, really?
Well, afraid of everything, honestly, which is funny because I'm about to write a paper on horror movies.
Yeah, you love those.
Love them. All right. So you, Incredible Hulk.
Yeah. What's your 13?
Iron Man 3. God, was I disappointed with this. I was one of the
low. It wasn't bad though.
Oh, like, it wasn't bad. It was disappointing. I was so disappointed by that movie.
Yeah.
I love Iron Man.
What you're saying right now, all right, I'm just going to say my number 12, Iron Man 2 is okay. My number 12. Because it disappointed me so much because it was coming off the heights of Iron Man, which I thought was a really solid movie. And I loved the origin. And so when Iron Man 2 came around, I felt like all like the villain was rushed. He was cool, but everything was rushed. It felt fake. It was a little too big for me.
I think I put Iron Man 2 higher up than Iron Man 3. Just like for me, Iron Man 2 had this like fun action. It was more of a forgettable movie than just upsetted me. Like I was so upset by the way they handled the Mandarin and everyone's just weird superpowers and like that suddenly spoilers. There's spoilers for everything except Civil War on this list, guys.
Yeah.
That bugged me. That's like this entire time. Now he can just like this entire time he's been able to take the giant the reactor out of his chest.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, money. No. Iron Man has more money than anybody else in the world. Mm-hmm. He could have done that so much earlier instead of dealing with it.
And also the little kid in that really annoyed me. Just because.
Fine. I just think he was.
I don't like when movies do that. They just get a random kid and then like.
I mean, I like that kid actor. He was in Jurassic World. I liked him in that.
Oh, he was the same guy?
And he's also in Insidious. But like, yeah, I don't know. I just, it ticked me off what they did. Because they set up in the beginning Iron Man 3, they set up a great villain in the Mandarin. Ben Kingsley was awesome.
Yeah,
I
didn't like Pepper Potts in the Iron Man suit. I didn't think it worked that well.
Yeah, it didn't. It was kind of like Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah, it was just exactly. They were just needed it to happen, so they did it.
Yeah, it just didn't feel. It didn't feel like a Iron Man movie.
No,
like at least I think in Iron Man 2 it focuses a lot on him. So yeah. And then what are your like issues with Iron Man 2?
My issues with Iron Man 2 are rush plot. Everything seems a little convoluted. And that's the movie Jon Favreau directed, and it was the one that made him not want to direct another Marvel movie because he said that was Marvel was getting their hands into it too much. And you could see that. Like, same problems with Spider-Man 3 with Sam Raimi. It's just they needed stuff to be in there to set up the next movies, and it just didn't work in that one
to me. But I do think that the Iron Man 2 was needed to bridge the gap and introduce these characters that we need to have what we have now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it is one of those ones where, like, eh. But, I mean, there are some, I think there's redeeming moments in Iron Man 2. Like, I think the suitcase Iron Man suit is one of the coolest.
Yeah.
Where he just shoves his hands into it and then pulls across his chest. And Whiplash was a dumb villain, but he looked cool. That was about it.
Yeah, the bird, it was just,
it was he annoying. Was a dumb villain, but he looked cool, and I was fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, I mean, it's just another bad Marvel villain. Yeah. So, yeah, then I think my number 12 is going to surprise a lot of people.
What is your number 12?
Thor. The original Thor
movie.
The
original Thor?
Yeah.
Really?
I was not a fan of the original Thor. It was, for me, it was entirely forgettable.
My sister hates the original Thor. Like,
I just don't really.
Yeah, she fell asleep, actually.
I just found it really boring, and like, it just really didn't, it didn't really like mix for me. I just didn't really like, it wasn't Iron Man 3 where I disliked it. I just, Thor, I just don't really remember.
Natalie Portman's character is one of the like least developed ones in the Marvel Universe. It's just like she just wants to discover things, and then she falls in love with Thor just because I guess he's good looking.
Yeah, and like I feel like I get it that they had to set it in New Mexico, but on the same hand, that kind of really like Marvel's made some very good set pieces, but New Mexico's not one of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's this desert in the middle of nowhere. It just felt like it was a really easy choice. Yeah. For this. And I mean, I guess I get the whole, oh, it contrasts with how crazy Asgard looks, but I just found myself not caring about either of the situations.
But I liked in Thor, though. I like Loki.
That is definitely the redeeming part of it, I think.
Anthony Hopkins, I also liked.
Who did Hopkins play?
He played the father.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah. I thought the cast was really good. You gotta use elbow
support. Who's father? Odin?
Yeah.
Wait, Odin's played by Anthony Hopkins?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Really?
Yeah.
No, he's good. Yeah, he's a little, like, you can't really tell, but I feel like that's part of the character. I did like the culture shock that Thor had. I know that's, like, it was generic, but I did enjoy it.
And I think that's an on-running joke in the MCU, that Thor will always make those, oh, what's up, blah, 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 I don't get it.
Yeah.
And
but this was, like, the first time we saw it, so I was like, I'm enjoying it.
I mean, I'll get a touch on this later. I think it was done better in the Avengers because if they had that Thor doesn't get it and Captain America doesn't get it. Yeah. But then Captain America sort of gets it when they make an old reference.
So that was your...
That was my number 12.
Well, my number 11 is Thor 2.
Ooh.
Because
I would like to have a strong debate about Thor the Dark World, because I enjoyed this movie.
There was no point to it. I don't know.
I liked the cat. I loved the casting. I thought that all the cast who I wasn't a fan of in the first Thor movie came into this one and had a good time with it. And actually, we should hold this one off because it's higher up on my list. Okay. Obviously. I mean, on all of these will be. But like
Thor 2,
I you talk about the bad points. I'll talk about the good points later.
We'll talk about both later.
Okay.
What's your number 11?
My number 11, I think, might be higher on your list, is Captain America, the First Avenger.
Yeah, it's higher.
How what? Is it, like, very high or close?
It's higher.
Much higher?
It's higher.
All right, we'll talk about why it's my 11 later. What's your 10?
My 10 is Iron Man 3.
Talked about Iron Man 3. Why'd you rank it at number 10?
Because the other ones disappointed me before that. And so, like, Iron Man 3, I just went into it having a fun time. And I did have a good time. Like, the action was cool. I liked the fight scene at the end with Guy Pearce. I thought Guy Pearce plays menacing guy as well. He has the look of it and talks like that. And he worked. I thought the destruction in his house, like, was pretty sweet.
I thought the destruction in Iron Man 2 was better.
Iron Man 2, it was all, like, a mash, though.
Oh, the catfight between Rhodey and RDJ was fantastic. Yeah. It's
Iron
dumb.
Man 3, I thought, out of all the movies, though, Pepper Potts, her relationship, like, being, like, jealous of that other woman.
Yeah.
Was, like, a little good. I don't know. Iron Man 3.
That was what?
My number 10.
My number 10 is Iron Man 2, which we've talked about. I think Iron Man 2 has more redeeming qualities than Iron Man 3. I think that it had more. I just think the action in it was more fun. I was enjoying that. It felt like, I mean, Iron Man 3 was, like, except for that, in that very fight on the end, like, Iron Man 2 focuses enough on the Iron Man suit. It's just, Iron Man's this character that Tony Stark's in, whereas, like, Iron Man 3, it's a million of them. And when it's not a million of them, he's not in an Iron Man suit. It just didn't feel like, Iron Man 2 felt more like an Iron Man movie. Maybe a disappointing Iron Man movie, but it felt like one.
Yeah.
And Sam Rockwell as a villain was kind of lame. He's kind of, like, jokey. And I definitely think that, what's his name? I can't remember his name, the Whiplash.
Mickey Rourke?
Yeah, I like Mickey Rourke as a villain, but his villain was dumb.
Yeah, it was dumb. Like, that movie was trying to be really epic. There was a lot going
two
on.
Two or three?
Two.
Two, yeah. I think it was trying to do something, and it didn't really.
Yeah, there was just too much going on for me. And, like, that's the same exact problem for Spider-Man 3. There was just too much going on.
And honestly, I think Iron Man 3 itself faulted so much more from just being too quirky and strange and so off the wall that, like, it really just doesn't fit in.
Yeah.
Like, he destroys all of his Iron Man suits, and then suddenly in Age of Ultron, he has Iron Man suits again.
Yeah.
Like, all of the big things that happened in that really haven't, like, they didn't matter at all.
True.
Like, I don't know. I thought, like, I thought in the end of that, he was, like, giving up on Iron Man. I thought that's a big thing, but he didn't.
No. All right, number 9. I'm probably going to be higher on your list. Avengers Age of Ultron.
We can talk about it. It is 2 ahead of this.
Oh, 2 ahead?
It's 7 for me.
All right. Yeah, this one.
Age of Ultron, yeah. Let's just get into it, because there's a point for me why I think Age of Ultron people didn't like it.
Okay, well, for me, it just tried to do everything Avengers did, only again.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the magic was gone. Because when you think about it, Avengers, rewatching it, it's not that great. It's
the first just, Avengers movie?
Me.
I think I would disagree with you completely.
To me, it's
that.
Just because it was the first time that all these superheroes came together, and it was just awesome to see. And they did it well. It was well done, but it was not, like, amazing, like, the plot or anything. The villain was cool in the first one, Loki. This one, I don't know. Ultron was just a little...
I think it was bad because... And I think it upsets me. I'm not just saying that this is the reason it was bad. I loved the tone the trailers were taking with it, that Ultron was this menacing villain that was, like, truly, like... You didn't know whether he would, like, what he could do or not. And then he kind of became a joke.
Yeah.
He was too quippy, and I get, Iron Man made him, but, like... It was so set up differently in the trailers, and I much rather would have seen that, like, this is a guy, the robot, who challenges what humans' existence are.
And Ultron took over everything. Like, it just seemed like
there was no
way to stop him. And, like, then they stopped him, and I was like...
He took over everything, but then again, he didn't. Like, they kind of touched on nuclear launch codes, but they really didn't touch on nuclear launch codes.
I mean, there were moments in Age of Ultron, like Vision... coming in. Like, Vision, that was cool.
I liked Vision's character, and I like the visuals of Vision's character. I think they like page to screen looks exactly the same.
But there were just parts in Age of Ultron, like where Thor goes.
I don't know what the heck is happening in there.
There's just scenes that they're setting up another thing, but they don't belong in that movie. And it just, it cuts the flow, just stops.
There is one thing in Age of Ultron, though, that I think keeps it high for me. What? It is one single redeeming thing. I think some people mention a certain scene in Civil War that's really good. I think this might be one of the best action scenes I've seen. The Hulkbuster fight is amazing. It is just rewatching that is worth the entire movie. That is one of the most intense battles I've seen, and it's just crazy.
Yeah. Another thing, Age of Ultron. All right, so X-Men Days of Future Past came out probably 3 months ahead, and it had Quicksilver as Evan Peters. And then Age of Ultron had their own portrayal of Quicksilver, and he was like the Russian. Like,
both very totally different.
But I did not like the...
I was fine with it. I'm surprised. Actually, one of my best friends, Josh, he... devout X-Men fan while I was a devout, like, all I love the MCU movies, he loved the X-Men movies, and then he was all game X-Men Quicksilver, and then coming out of seeing Age of Ultron, he's like, that was my favorite portrayal of Quicksilver.
Really? No, I felt for Days of Future Past, though, my favorite scene was the Evan Peters scene.
No, it easily is.
And then, like, the Quicksilver in Ultron, his death is supposed to be a huge, huge turning point in the, like, heartstrings of, you know, the Witch, Scarlet Witch.
And it didn't really do anything. But that's not a gripe for Ultron. I think that's more a gripe for Civil War.
You think?
Yeah. But we'll touch on that later. Right. I do think his death needed to happen.
It needed to happen.
Completely fine with him dying. I think I liked his scenes. I loved his running. I think it was fun to watch him like beat up things. Mm-hmm. And like when he grabs Thor's hammer. Whoa. When he grabs Thor's hammer and just throws him into a wall. I thought that was funny.
I agree. What's your number nine?
My number nine is The Incredible Hulk. We've already talked about it. I like it a lot.
All right.
I think it suffers from you not watching it.
Like, I heard the CGI is horrible.
It is.
That's also why.
But it was made so much earlier than all these. And yeah, Ruffalo's Hulk looks so much better. But I don't know. Incredible Hulk's fun. It tussles with the whole like Hulk, how he has to really control himself. And I liked Tim Roth's villain. It wasn't great, but like seeing a villain that could actually stand up to Hulk was fun to watch. Yeah.
And you thought Edward Norton was good?
Yeah, I liked Edward Norton. I thought he was fine. I think he's fine for the role he was in.
All right, nice. All right, my number eight is Ant-Man.
All right, we'll talk about that one later because Ant-Man's is close, but my number eight we said we'd talk about.
All right, what's your
Ant-Man? Thor the Dark World.
Thor the Dark World. All right, number eight. I could see that, but like, you see, this bottom list, all of them were just like middling to me. I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
They were fine. So, like, I could see that, but...
For me, with Thor the Dark World, I know a lot of people think it's super forgettable. And yeah, I mean, Malekith is forgettable. But I think the thing is, like, for everything that the original Thor did, this one did it better. Like, Thor's interactions with Natalie Portman were so much more fleshed out in this. I thought Kat Dennings was funny in this.
Yeah, she was funny.
Thor was funnier in this. I thought the action in this was just better, like, objectively better. Maybe it didn't have the same weight.
I didn't like the end villain. I don't know. The whole, like, I'm trying to remember the fight scene, but like...
There's a whole fight scene with them. They create that, which is dumb.
It's so huge.
It makes no sense how they suddenly can teleport stuff.
Yeah, that's... I could have sworn I was thinking, like, what the heck's going on?
I thought that created kind of cool action. There, you see, like, Thor, like, fighting Malekith and see them, like, just teleport to another area. Mm. And I thought that's funny. And there was a lot of really good comedy in it, like when Thor has to ride the subway.
Yeah. I don't know. My gripes were like my favorite parts of the movie were Loki.
Yes, like, he was amazing.
And that also like told me like, what else happened? Because when he was locked up, I was just thinking like, I want Loki out of there. And then when he came out and like he was shape-shifting into like all those different people, that was fairly funny.
I mean, I totally thought like, I was like, oh my gosh, Loki betrays him. And I was like, that's cool. And then they went back and I was like, that's still cool. Right. He's the trickster.
It was so predictable.
I think it's still... I didn't find it predictable.
I was like, Thor, you're being dumb.
I thought it was interesting. I thought it's like...
Loki's... This guy tried to destroy mankind, and now you're like, I can trust him.
It's his brother.
Again. It's not really.
Yeah, Loki's his brother.
Their whole childhood, they didn't like each other.
They grew up together.
Yeah, but they were always jealous. Like,
I don't know. I thought Loki's... I don't think Loki and Thor's relationship was as good as it was in Avengers or in Thor, but I think that it existed in this, and it was fun.
Yeah.
And I thought this was a more fun movie than Thor was. It had a much better set piece too. Whew, London versus New Mexico.
Well, all right. My number seven is Thor. So
your number seven is Thor.
Did you say your number eight?
I said my number eight was Thor: The Dark World. Yeah. And my number seven is Age of Ultron.
My number seven is Thor. Just because I feel like going back, this is also rewatchability, because seeing Loki before all of it, it's a really interesting.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you see the Avengers first, go back to see Thor.
I did see Avengers first and then went, then saw Thor afterwards.
Okay, well, I did like it. I don't know. Just me.
I thought Thor was fine. I just find it forgettable. Hmm. All right. But yeah, no, I can see how people enjoy it.
It's a lot of tense moments, too, when their father died. Like, I was like, wow, that's big.
Yep.
Stuff like that. All right, what's your number seven?
My number seven, we already talked about number seven, is Age of Ultron.
Oh, okay.
My, what's your number six?
Captain America, the First Avenger. All right. Did you have light?
Like 11.
10, 11, man.
I think it suffers from forgettability.
Really? I feel like it's a solid origin story. Because
it is.
It makes me care about Cap. I will admit that he does expand a lot better into Avengers and Winter Soldier. He just becomes a lot more, you know, charismatic. This one, he's timid, and I get it. Like, you know, he's trained, like, think about it, his whole life he's just scrawny little guy, and then all of a sudden he's like this 6-foot masculine superhero. So, like, you're gonna see a bit of identity crisis, and like, he is a little, like, not confident, and that comes off on the screen. I don't know if Chris Evans tried to do that, but it suffers a little from, like, making him watch.
I understand it had to be like this, but I didn't think it fit in because, like, it's such a different tone in the 50s, not 50, whenever
it 40s.
Was 40s. And, like, it's such, like, it, all of the clothing and everything, like, that's when it's set. And I get that, but, like, it just doesn't really fit in. Like, For instance, I dated my first girlfriend ever when we were dating. We tried watching Marvel movies, and the only one she'd ever seen was Captain America, the First Avenger, because she just loved the 40s. And, like, that's the thing, is that she loved that one and didn't like any of the other ones.
Hmm.
But, like, because it's just so different, and I feel like it's kind of, I just feel like it doesn't fit in. I feel like Thor fits in better, and then I get, like, it's how Captain America exists.
Captain America, I like the villain. I like the Nazi villain.
Hugo Weaving's a great villain.
Loved seeing his past, like, when he was fighting with all his buddies.
Yeah.
I love Bucky. I do.
He
and
is.
We're going to talk more about him later.
We will.
Like, I do love Bucky, and seeing him die, that was huge for me. And then...
air quotes.
I also love the ending. The only grip I have was the kiss going onto the plane, like, that whole romance.
We'll,
I did not like the romance.
We'll talk about
and
the romance.
And it's always referred to, but...
We'll talk about that in Civil War
also.
The ending
was awesome, though, when he wakes up and, like...
I just felt that kind of had to happen.
I thought it was sweet. It was just cool to see.
I feel like it just had to happen. I just feel like it didn't fit in.
I thought it fit.
I also think it's overshadowed by the following Captain America movies.
You think?
I think the following, like, its sequels, 2 and 3, are so much better.
I just love the Captain America trilogy. I think it's the best, like compared to Iron Man trilogy, there's no comparison for
that's, me. Like, the funny thing with the Iron Man trilogy, the first Iron Man's great, and the next two aren't. And then this one, for me, the first Captain America just doesn't fit in with the following ones. And I think the following
Is it because of the gap in, like, time?
They feel completely different movies. Everyone's like, oh, Winter Soldier's a spy thriller, Civil War is a political thriller, and then the First Avenger
is
a period piece.
Yeah, it's cool.
But it's a period piece in a entirely science fiction world.
Yeah, but I sort of think it gives it humanity just because it's a little...
Yeah, like, I just don't see myself watching First Avenger.
And that's also the character. When it came out, Captain America comics were to inspire, you know, the soldiers.
Agreed.
So I feel like the fact that he's inspiring the soldiers, it's just a cool thing to watch. But, all right.
I don't know. I just feel like,
it's not like, you know.
Like, I don't think it's rewatchability.
It's not great.
It's like, I won't say, yeah, let's sit down and watch First Avenger.
I mean, I'd say that, but it's in the middle, you know?
Yeah.
It's 6 out of 13 on my list.
I mean, so. I think both First Avenger and Thor suffer for me because I've only seen them once. I've seen all these other ones upwards of 10 times each.
Oh, yeah.
Even Iron Man 2 and 3.
Really?
Like, I've seen them so many times, but I've seen First Avenger once in theaters and Thor once.
What's your number six?
Number six is one you had lower, is Ant-Man.
Oh, okay.
I loved Ant-Man.
Look, I had it at 8. Like, I guess I could put it above Thor at 7, but, like, not above First Avenger. Ant-Man's cool.
I loved the way Ant-Man works.
Yeah, I loved it because I had no expectations.
Me too.
That's the thing.
I think...
If I had the same expectations, though, I had for, like, Thor, I think I would have given it with it. But it's Ant-Man, so it was pretty sweet to watch.
And I feel like going into Thor, Captain America, Iron Man, and Incredible Hulk, we knew what we were kind of getting into. Like, I know, like, okay, they're, but like, we know them. And then we go into, I went into Ant-Man with no idea what was going on. I think Marvel really benefits from these, like, weird...
Those were funny marketing. The whole, like, little guy on the poster, like...
Ant-Man's hilarious.
It's a funny movie. And then the side characters are great, like T.I. and Michael Pena.
They're all really funny.
Yeah.
And that one guy
from... And then Paul Rudd, so charismatic. Like, he's just so good. He got into shape for this. I was like, oh, I can't believe, like, Paul Rudd's a villain. I mean, like, not a villain, but...
A superhero.
Yeah, well, he gets arrested all the time. Like,
yeah.
So, like, that's what I meant by villain, but he pulls it off.
And I think that was really worried about with the whole, like, director change and everything. And, oh, they cast...
Yeah.
Like, it's a comedy actor, and, like, I think Paul Rudd blew me away. But, yeah. Like, I also think Ant-Man is something that's palatable by everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that it's... Even if you're not a fan of superhero movies, you'll like Ant-Man
because
it's so funny and such a great story.
And the action's cool. The whole, like,
yeah.
But I felt the villain, while his motives were good, it was rushed again.
Another,
I don't know what it is with Marvel. Because, like, you
can
see that
villain.
Character being cool just because he's a conflicted, like, he was the apprentice and everything. But it just, it came off
and, like,
silly.
Yellow Jacket, I think they didn't do this original Yellow Jacket storyline. I think I've seen... like one thing about Yellow Jacket and like an Avengers TV show, and if it's that Yellow Jacket, that makes me really sad that they wasted this on him.
Yeah,
it's just like, it's like why I'm so upset they wasted Doomsday and Batman v Superman, because they could have done a great job, a great struggle with the original Yellow Jacket. If you don't know what it is, go read about it. It's really good. I'm pretty sure, like, I don't know this for the fact, I might be messing it up with a different character, but I'm pretty sure Hank Pym becomes Yellow Jacket.
Yeah.
Hank Pym becomes it, and then someone else has to take up this mantra of Ant-Man to defeat him. And I think that would have been such a great thing for Ant-Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
But they instead used Darren Cross, who is a completely different character in the comic books. Yeah. And yeah, they wasted it.
It wasn't bad, but...
The action was cool between the two of them. But I
good
just
movie.
Didn't really see why he cared so
Michael
much.
Michael Douglas was good.
Yeah. Like, and I mean, his beef was with Hank Pym, not with Scott Lang.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't understand it.
Yeah. All right. Top five.
Here we go.
This was like the upper echelon for me.
Yes. I think my five is not for me in the upper echelon.
You got the top four? I mean, all right. So number five for me is Iron Man.
Same.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Because the beginning of Iron Man, I love. The first third, the whole part where, like, the suit's getting built, he's in the cave with the doctor.
Yeah.
I feel like they got to go back to that guy a little more, because he saved...
They
he
did should go be, like, back the, to him.
Yeah, they did. But, it's like,
sort of,
he has been referenced
3.
In, like, three movies. And he's, like, his savior. Think about it. He, like, killed himself for him. He built a suit for him, let him go. But I just think that's awesome. And then how he comes back a changed guy, but still has the same personality. That is awesome. But...
I didn't really realize this till I watched a YouTube video about it, but... This is the movie where Iron Man really kills people. Like, in Iron Man 2, he doesn't kill anybody.
Hmm.
And in Iron Man 3, he sort of does, but it's very, like, you don't really see it. And also, you see a giant, it's like a bunch of robots fighting a bunch of robots. But in this, like, when he breaks out of that cave, he kills a ton of people.
Yeah.
And it felt like an action movie. It didn't feel like a lot of the issues with most Marvel villains is that you fight a faceless enemy that has a ton of themselves that are not human or alien. Like, robots and aliens are what they fight, and I think that it suffers from that. And this one, he's killing people. He is, like, he blows a tank up. And
oh, he is.
It struggles with, like, war and what should be allowed in private security.
Yeah, and you see the conflict, because, like, his weapons are getting sold to them, so...
Yeah.
It's a lot of internal conflict with this. Like, he really trusts Jeff Bridges' character, and
it really set up what he was going to be like. It's great. I think I think it's the most solid original.
Yeah, if it wasn't for this movie, none of the other ones would have been successful.
I feel like it's the most solid, like, single original story of them. Like, I think it's way more solid than Captain America or Thor or even Incredible Hulk, even though that wasn't an origin story, weirdly. But yeah, I think Iron Man's very solid. I wouldn't put it, though, in the upper echelon.
A lot of people love Iron Man. I got to give a shout out to my buddy Matt Epperly. He loves the Iron Man movies.
I think they're great. I enjoy the character more than the movies, though.
Yeah.
And but I would not put Iron Man. I think that it's great, but I do not think it is as good as the top four, which I believe we'd maybe not in the same order, but we have the same following this.
Yeah, I think we do. My number four, The Avengers.
Oh, no. That's number three for me.
Oh, yeah?
What's
your number four?
Civil War.
Civil War.
What's Civil War for you?
Number three.
Oh, well, here we go.
Switched those.
I think we might have switched one and two also.
All right. I went back and forth on these two. I really did. But I think it is because the event, like, if I took them both as they are now, I think Civil War is better. But since Avengers came first, I think I enjoyed it more. But if I took both and watched them, like, simultaneously, I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah.
But just taking them as their films, Civil War is a lot better. Like, because of Spider-Man, Black Panther, like, who are you substituting? You're substituting Hulk and Thor. I think I'd rather have Spider-Man and Black Panther than Hulk and Thor.
I disagree. I was very clear that Avengers was better than Civil War, and I think, honestly, I think the action in Avengers is better.
Yeah.
They feel like they're really working as a team. And I know Civil War is not about them working as a team, but, like, in Avengers, they feel like they're working about a team. I think the chemistry, the reason there's only those six Avengers is because their chemistry between Thor, Hulk, Iron Man, and Captain America is hilarious. Oh, yeah. It's great when they say something about flying monkeys, Thor doesn't get it, and then Cap's like, I got that reference.
Mm-hmm. I think that Civil War fight scene is better than Avengers, though, to be honest. The whole destruction in New York, like, thinking about it, like, it's a little crazy. You know, the black hole, like, why are they taking so long to funnel in? It's like, just think about it.
There's a lot of science.
I love Loki. Love Loki.
Loki, I think, is a much better villain.
But I think about Civil War villain, and, like, he's complex.
But they don't really make him complex.
No, you got to think about him, and then you're like, all right, I see it. The end, Civil War, like, you know, you can see where he's coming from. That's all I'm saying. Like, not giving anything away.
I think...
They're close.
But I think, honestly, I rewatched some of the action scenes in Avengers recently after watching Civil War when I was making this list, and I do think that... I think the action is just more fun, like, when they're destroying the giant worm beast. Mm-hmm. I think Iron Man is, like, despite how much they get into his character in Civil War, yeah. I think his character is better.
I will say Avengers is more fun, but Civil War, there's a lot more character conflict going on here. Like, you know, the whole Cap and Iron Man. I mean, there's just, their minds are going against what they think they should be doing. It's just, it's crazy.
I think, though, like... I mean, next two movies are going to be a different situation. But I think when it came down to it, I will probably see Civil War a ton. But I find myself that I'm still going to be watching Avengers more. I think I've seen Avengers upwards of 40 times.
Really? I actually can't really watch Avengers that much anymore. Just because, like, I don't know if it's the magic of seeing it when it first came out, how much I loved it. But
I'm the complete reverse. I can see I think Avengers is also the best paced of any of the Marvel movies. It's so, like... It's not too fast, not too slow. There's really well spaced out action scenes. I think the characters' interactions are great. The scene in the helicarrier, the scene, like, I don't know how much I liked. I wasn't a fan of how Hawkeye was evil for the beginning because I like him a lot. But, like, even so, like, it opens with a very good action scene. Then you get they set up all these characters and where they're at from last you saw them.
Yeah.
And then it brings them all together. And then I enjoyed that. That final fight scene is so good. When they're around this, they're around the, just like battling around New York, and like you just see Iron Man going from one fight with Hulk, flies off of that fight, flies down to the ground with Captain America and all of those, and then you see that one scene where Captain America tells the cops to do all of this stuff, like set up a perimeter around this, and then he goes in and stops that explosion that was going on there, and I think that just like it's seeing his look after that, where he looks up and goes, "I don't know how we're gonna stop this."
Yeah, I will admit the build to that. It's a long build in Avengers. At least I remember like feeling like they have a lot of talking. Like, I know Civil War has that, but
I would say Civil War is more. I feel Civil War's build.
They're just at that home base. So much is going on there, and it's like before it happens.
I think Avengers is way better paced than Civil War was. Civil War, I felt like the fact that I felt that some of the talk scenes felt drawn out. I felt they're necessary, but I felt they were drawn out. Yeah. With Avengers, I don't think any of them are drawn out. I think it is a very solid movie, and I think I could see at the end of the MCU, I'd still be watching Avengers.
I will admit, I did miss Nick Fury in Civil War.
Agreed.
I don't know why he wouldn't. Oh, yeah, that's a little spoiler, but hey, whatever.
He's not in it. It's fine. You won't really notice.
Yeah.
All right.
Number two for me. Might be different than you. Guardians of the Galaxy.
And that's my number one. And I'm taking your number one is the Winter Soldier. My number two is the Winter Soldier.
All right.
I cannot even
they're totally different movies.
They are.
So let me just preface.
Like,
just
that. Like, I mean, I put Guardians on my top 10 movies of all time.
Yeah, you really like it.
Guardians, I wouldn't even put on this list because it's that good.
Yeah. Guardians, I'm just, the one thing I like not perfect about is the middle section. It's just like all that going from place to place. They need that because, you know, that's progression. But it's a little bit like, I don't know. It's not the highs.
And the tones between these two movies are like drastically opposites. Yeah. It's like the tone of, we need to wrap this up though.
We've been talking
for a long time. But the tone of Guardians versus the tone of Winter Soldier, I find myself coming back to Guardians a lot. Winter Soldier though, rewatching it, the action in that and the setup for it, it is one of the best movies I've Guardians? Seen.
I don't like the villain.
Not for Guardians, in Winter Soldier.
Oh, yeah. Winter Soldier's action is awesome. Spy movie. I love Cap. I love the tension between him and Bucky. That, like, there's nothing in that in Guardians where, like, the two characters just have so much history.
They have a different kind of connection, though. I think that they have this camaraderie connection versus this, like, old history connection, which is why I don't even like the 1 and 2 connection. It comes down to which type of movie you like better.
Is Ronan the Destroyer good?
No, he's not. Ronan the Accuser is not a good... He's fine. Destroyer, I think he's better than most C-tier Marvel villains. He is definitely one of the best of them, but that's not saying much.
Yeah.
However, and I think that underrated, because everyone just talks about Loki, is the villains, the overall villain of, spoilers, Hydra and
Robert Redford in Winter Soldier was awesome. And he just has so much weight to him just because he's a great actor.
Great villain. Yeah. Very good villain.
I got to give it to Winter Soldier because of villain, action. I just love Cap and Bucky.
I like the tone of Guardians
better.
And also
Falcon coming in.
I just overall like the tone of Guardians.
They're totally different, so I can see the point of view. I think it's just taste. But for me, it's Winter Soldier's the number one.
All right. So
that list took forever.
That list took a good 30 minutes.
It was worth it.
It needed to happen. Yeah. All right. So for all of you listeners out there, we are about to do a spoiler review. Tune back in at 12:55. That is when we will be done with this and we will wrap the show up. Show might go on a little longer today because we want to close that out. It's okay. No one's going on after us. But come back at 12:55. We will be done with spoilers.
Yes.
Or whatever that time works for you when you're living elsewhere.
Spoilers.
So we're going to do 10 minutes, 9-10 minutes of spoilers right now. All right.
Where do you want to begin?
Where do we even begin? I wish I could talk it for
9 minutes
hours.
Is not a long time.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Amazing. Great job. I think they summed the origin story up. I love the connection between RDJ. However, I was upset that Robert Downey Jr., I felt like he was using him for the airport battle.
He was using him. He was. He's definitely using him. And, you know, he's becoming like a, I don't want to say like father figure, but he sort of is because he's funding him. He gave him the suit, which is crazy. Iron Man gave Spider-Man the suit. That's just a weird thing for me to say.
I think there is a thing in the comic world where Spider-Man's suit does come from Iron Man.
It probably is. I mean, it worked. And then the whole Aunt May Iron Man, I don't think Pepper Potts needs to come in now.
Flirt. I'm glad they got rid of her. I think
I'm just thinking, though, for the next Spider-Man, like, how are they going to talk about Uncle Ben? Because it's an odd picture.
I think
Uncle Ben dead.
Like, I think Uncle Ben will have died a while ago. I mean,
so what happened to the great power comes great responsibility thing?
Honestly,
that had to happen.
It's going to be weird because it's not Marvel made. It's Sony made, Marvel produced. So I don't know how much this movie, it's like, everyone's like, oh, I can't wait for the new Spider-Man movie. It's like, I don't know.
I was waiting for Peter to say, like, why do you do this? Because great power. I don't know. I was hoping for a reference to that quote because the character that I know, that speech makes so much of him.
Like, I think they're going to save that for and I like his motivation though in this, where it's like,
oh yeah, I did.
I'm this kid. Yeah. 6 months ago, I got these powers. I was a kid who couldn't do anything. This, I could play chess, all this. Do I want to play football? Yes, but I can't do it because people will find out. No. However, he says, when I'm walking down the street and I see something happen, some car accident or some accident, that's my fault because I know I can, but I didn't save them.
And he's a normal teenager and everything.
But I feel like that was a very strong way to put up the mantra of Spider-Man.
Yeah. I'm excited to see more.
I am. Black Panther. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Was that great?
Yep.
He was reckless and I think he learned his lesson. Like, I think the end, I was very happy that he's there.
Oh, that was heartfelt.
And he was so driven. This is a character that's really motivated.
It was like 5 minutes in. He has like that death to his dad, and you care so much more about him.
He's a very compelling character, and I cannot wait to see him again.
Yeah, Chadwick Boseman's a good actor.
He's incredible. I think he has me so excited for this.
How about Hawkeye actually being sweet? Not Hawkeye, Falcon being sweet. I mean,
Falcon they moved up. I think I love Scarlet Witch in this.
Yeah.
Her back and forth on whether or not this was something she could do or not.
her and Vision's romance is going to get a little weird.
That's comic books for you. Like, that is a thing in the comic books. But, like, I don't know. I felt Scarlet Witch, they really, I think people underestimated her in
Ultron. She was a
Ultron.
Big part of this movie.
She's so powerful. Yeah,
the whole taking Vision, like, 13 stories down into the ground, I was it's a bit excessive.
A lot of people were like, there's no way for Cap to win because they have Vision. But, yeah, there is a way for Cap to win.
Scarlet Witch saved everyone like 3 times. Like last minute in that fight.
But she's also, I mean, like, okay, she's not a kid, but she is young and she's like, she has these powers that are so much greater than the rest of the Avengers.
Let's talk about the end fight scene between Bucky.
Oh my God,
Cap,
that was so hard to watch.
All right.
Motivation in front of it. I think that they had to do that. Like,
the part where they show Iron Man's parents dying. Just think about the camera angle. Why is there a camera on like a country road?
I don't want to.
Did you think about that?
I feel that's nitpicking though.
Is it though?
I think it's nitpicking.
And then I could see if he has to put it there, but then he shoots it, so it doesn't make sense to me.
Like, I thought that's nitpicking.
Really? I was like, but that's like a huge, like, how would that be revealed?
I'm more like, I feel Iron Man should have grown enough that he has not really exhibited feats of anger or anything before until this with his parents dying. And I think that maybe that's not uncharacteristic, but on the other hand, they needed to have this final fight.
I felt like he was angry enough because his parents.
Yeah.
And his mom, actually.
This is the guy. But like, I mean, the other thing is, though, he knows so much about Bucky that he's this character. It's not his fault. He was doing this. He was being mind controlled by Hydra, and Cap was trying to tell him that. Yeah. I think he would understand it, but like, they had to have that final fight.
Bucky's arm coming off.
Bucky's gone. He's not.
Cap was wailing at Iron Man at one point. I was like, man.
They came out for blood in this, except for, no, I thought the Hawkeye versus, that small Hawkeye versus, Black Widow is dumb. I was really looking forward though to seeing some kind of conflict between them because they're on opposite sides.
Yeah.
I feel like they wouldn't be unless they had a real reason to be, but there was no reason for them to be.
All right, how about Ant-Man becoming Giant Man?
I hate that. It was spoiled for me.
You had it spoiled out of a Lego commercial.
Lego set. There was a Lego set. They showed Giant Man in it, and it made me really sad because everyone I know watching it were like, whoa, and I was like, I saw that coming, sadly.
It was sweet. I did not see that coming. I mean,
and the Spider-Man Star Wars reference, I was like, oh my God, thank you.
I was like, I don't know. I felt like you would have known, like, those big things walking. I was like, if you were a real smart nerd, you know what they were called.
But, like, I also love the fact that, like, they played on the fact that he's super young. He's like, how old's this kid?
Yeah.
And, like, also you're like, oh, thank God Disney owns Star Wars.
That's true.
Disney would never let them make references like that unless they own both the properties.
Yeah. What else? I mean,
what
so
else
much
can
happened.
You talk about? The opening scene, I loved Crossbones. I'm glad he died too because I think he needed to.
Yeah.
It was good they tied that end up, just kind of like tying up the.
His plan was a little dumb though, the whole point.
Yeah.
But it was cool.
I loved his. I was trying to figure out what those weird claws were the entire time, but they're like fists so he can actually face off against Cap and be one on one with him.
Yeah. So Bucky's now with Black Panther.
In Wakanda.
Maybe in the Black Panther movie he'll come back.
No, I doubt he will. I don't want him to.
I do. Dude, he's a good character.
I think
about how hard that is to act in that guy because, like, you're responsible, but you have no control. But he's still going on. Like, you see in his eyes, it's just mist.
He's a great character, but I think this was. It was good that this was the. I thought this movie needed to be the definitive end of his character. I thought.
He has a 9-movie contract. With
what?
Marvel. That actor, Stan. So that either means flashbacks or he's only
it
done
means
four.
We know a certain character. They've been hinting at this for a while of another person picking up.
Yeah, we won't. But
another person picking up the shield.
Sebastian, bro.
I liked Falcon. I liked Vision a lot. I thought they finally made use of him. Is like the fact that he's trying to control the Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
Iron Man, a lot of people don't like him after this movie.
I mean, I still like him. All right. Well, how much? That whole thing with the, where he shows his parents talking to him at the beginning.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little contrived.
I thought it was a flash. I thought a flashback at first. And
he looks so good young. Like, I was like, this is good special effects. But, I don't know. The whole talk with, like, the mother of the kid that died.
I liked that.
You said it worked. To me, I was like, all right, this is contrived. The whole funeral thing, the speech going to Captain. I mean, that's part of, like, the genre, but that speech was totally to him. I get it. It really fit like the time.
I don't know how much I loved the ending though, like Cap walking away with the other guys. It felt exact like the exact ending to Winter Soldier.
Yeah, but I like the ending.
I would have liked
someone, 1 minute.
1 minute.
Let's team. Team Captain, Team Iron Man.
I'm not choosing. I can't.
You can't choose.
I love Iron Man, but I cannot agree on the Accords. I think they both put really good sides down.
I see both sides, but the whole time I was Team Captain, just because I feel like you can't trust the government. And you said Iron Man trying to keep him together. I get it.
I like that, though. I like that he's like, I'm trying to not let the Avengers tear each other apart. And I was like, wow, that's powerful.
Yeah. But Team Cap, I don't know. He's always known what's right to me. It's just all morals with him. And it's not like Superman where it's all lame. He's like confident about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to call the spoiler session over. Uh-huh. Me and Matt might actually record a spoiler talk at some point. Or each one of us will record a spoiler talk. But maybe when the movie goes VOD.
Yeah.
Definitely fantastic movie. Marvel blows these out of the water, and I think that this is I think it's in the tops. It is one of those good Marvel movies.
Yeah.
All right. So that's wrapped up the MCU for a while until Doctor Strange.
I'll just give how much it made this weekend. It made $182 million. And not $200 million, but you know, $182 million is nothing too shabby.
That's fine.
So they still own the box office.
I mean,
obviously.
I don't really care what Marvel movies make. They're fine.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the box office for this weekend?
Yeah.
While I pull up some stuff.
So yeah, Civil War made $182 million, which is good, really good, really great. Jungle Book second place with $22 million. So that total was up to $285 million. So yeah, you're getting the sequel to that mainly because of the box office. Mother's Day is number three. Happy Mother's Day to our mothers.
That has to happen. Happy Mother's Day to mom
and all mothers, but love you, mom.
And also, happy birthday to my dad. My mom, it used to be that my mom's birthday would fall on Father's Day and my dad's birthday would fall on Mother's Day. This year, my dad's birthday does fall on Mother's Day.
Happy birthday, Mr. Rosen.
Or actually, it's more like my Mother's Day falls on my dad's birthday because my dad's birthday never changes.
Yeah, that's pretty much it with the box office.
Ironically, though, the movie Mother's Day, do not see it.
It's gotten bad reviews, but I mean, it might be heartfelt if you want to just go see something.
Go see Civil War.
Next week coming out, Money Monster with George Clooney, Julia Roberts, directed by the great actress, what's her name? Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster. I think Money Monster looks like a really cool concept, honestly.
Yeah, hopefully it's all right. It's coming out at a weird time.
It is. It's like a... Oh, darn. I missed to say... All right, roll back to Age of Ultron. There's this point I just wanted to say. I think Age of Ultron is so not enjoyed because I'm a product of this. Because it came out a week before Mad Max. That everyone's like, oh yeah, the next Avengers movie came out. And then this movie, Mad Max Fury Road, drops and everyone does only talking about that for like months. For almost an entire year, people were only talking about Mad Max. And I like would have seen Age of Ultron more times in theaters. Like I told myself, I want to see this four times in theaters. But I didn't because I saw Mad Max four times in theaters instead. So yeah, that's a point I missed. What else is coming out next week?
That's pretty much it. Yeah. Sausage Party is 100%. It's coming out in August, but like I'm just saying.
That's interesting. We'll talk about the summer later. Yeah, let me pull up the Blu-ray list. For VOD, I believe VOD might actually be more interesting than Blu-ray this week. Week of May 10th, The Boy comes out on Blu-ray. Where to Invade next, and a Blu-ray that I think a lot of people will be picking up is Deadpool.
Yep.
Deadpool has been out on VOD for a long time, but now it's finally getting its Blu-ray release. So for all you people there, coming out on VOD this week, though, is also a couple stuff I know, not necessarily stuff I've seen. Actually, none of these I've seen, but Kung Fu Panda 3, which is weird because that came out in like...
A while ago.
It's been, I don't know. Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies... I haven't seen it. Risen, that's coming out this week. Some movie Regression with Emma Watson and Superman. And then a bunch of other stuff I don't know. Just to say, because we won't be, because this is the last show, the week after that on VOD is 999 Gods of Egypt and Race. Week after that is 13 Hours, Hail Caesar, Finest Hours, and Brothers Grimsey, and The Other Side of the Door. Week after that, May 31st, will be London Has Fallen Midnight Special, Hello, My Name is Doris, and a couple other things. So just to add that to it, Blu-ray release is beyond that, beyond this week, following week from this week, Witch, Dirty Grandpa. Week after that, Finest Hours. Week after that, Pride, Prejudice, Zombies, 999, Gods of Egypt, Race. So that will take us through May. So yeah, I know it. We're going to probably go over a bit. It's okay. There's no one on after us. But this is the last show, Matt.
Yeah. It's the last show until, well, for, next semester for you.
Matt's got, Matt has sad news for the show will be that he will not be returning next semester for next season, as we're going to call it. That'll be season one. This is season zero.
Ah.
So Matt will not be returning for season one. So all of you people who listen to season zero can say, oh, we were real fans when it was just Matt and Allie. But coming on will be Josh Nolan, Jay Knowles. He will be my co-host for the next semester. And then Matt will be back in the spring semester.
Yep. Going to London for one. So I'll be back, though.
He will be
back. It's been a fun.
It has been a fun, very with you. Incredibly fun time.
I miss not doing this with you, buddy.
Yeah. We won't know until next semester what the time for Animatronic Dinosaur will be. We may even have a title change. There's a lot of things that might be shifting over the summer. Speaking about the summer, though, there's a lot of movies coming out. So we won't be on www.wjrh.org for the summer, but you can go find us on YouTube. I don't know the link offhand, but if you go to our Facebook page, there is a link to our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Subscribe to that, give our videos some likes, and we will be doing, hopefully, some movie reviews. Well, not together, sadly.
Yeah, separate.
Separate movie reviews for different movies of the summer. Matt's going to have to help me because I will be gone for the next 6 weeks, and I will help him when it comes to the movies after that. So we will be doing those, so tune into those to hear our opinions on those. And other than that, we've had a great, great semester.
Yeah.
This has been an awesome thing to do. Every Sunday, I look forward to it.
Yep. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'd love, if you guys haven't already, like our Facebook page. Like our Facebook page. Thank you for listening, honestly. Yeah. It's been really good. Whoa. Follow us on YouTube so you guys can keep up with just kind of thing. We'll introduce Josh next year, and when Matt gets back in the spring, we'll have a three-person team.
Yeah.
Also in the next year, we're looking forward to maybe doing some interviews with people and having people on. There's been some interest in a Stanley Kubrick episode, so a lot to look forward to. We're going to definitely be moving ahead.
That's sweet.
As for that, though, thank you guys for watching the last episode of the season of Animatronic Dinosaurs. I've been Allie Rosen,
and I'm Matt Peters.
Thank you guys for listening.